Section 3. You will hear two researchers comparing their research on different types of bees. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 25 on page 5. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 25.
Have you had a chance to look at our research on Australian native bees?
Yes, it's very relevant to my research on European bees.
What aspect do you think is most relevant?
Well, as you know, my main research interest is the European honeybee and the problems facing it.
Yes, I've heard about the Varroa mite, but I don't know much about it.
Well, it almost wiped out the European honeybee population in North America back in the 1980s.
Thankfully, we don't have it here in Australia yet. It sounds like a nasty little creature.
It certainly is. It's like a little hitchhiker, really. It hops onto a bee, then when the bee lands on a flower, the mite gets off and waits for another bee to come along.
And from there, I guess the mite climbs onto another bee.
Right. The mite then hitches a ride back to the hive where the bee lives with the rest of the colony.
So the mite actually sneaks inside the hive on top of the bee's back.
That's right. And once it's there, it dives into a honeycomb cell and heads straight for the bottom. That's where the queen bee's eggs are.
And the honey.
Yes. And the mite buries itself deep inside it.
Ah, I see. The mite doesn't eat the honey though, does it?
Well, no. That's the interesting part. It uses the honey to cover its scent so it won't be detected.
And presumably, it lives off the blood of the bees.
That's right. It feeds on the bee larva that hatches out from the egg. The mite's reproductive cycle takes place there too, while it's living in the cell. When that's finished, it leaves.
It sounds like a clever enemy. But why does it have such a devastating effect on bee populations?
Well, it leaves them debilitated, and it also infects them with a virus that spreads amongst the colony.
If the population dies out here in Australia, it will have a devastating effect on Australian agriculture.
Mm.
The worrying thing is that we do need to find a way of increasing our bee population.
Before you hear the rest of the discussion, you have some time to look at questions 26 to 30 on page 6. Now listen and answer questions 26 to 30.
Well, perhaps we can combine my research on European bees and yours on Australian native bees to put together a research proposal and find a way of safely increasing the Australian bee population.
That would be great. Let's compare notes.
OK then, let's start with the European bumblebee. There's been a lot of talk recently about bringing them into this country.
Yes, but the problem is that the bumblebee has a tendency to carry weeds to nearby farmland.
They would also compete for nectar with your existing bees.
You know, there's an Australian native bee, the blue-banded bee, which is good at pollinating without carrying weeds. It could be useful to farmers.
The blue-banded bee? I've never heard of that one.
That's one of the challenges we face because there hasn't been a lot of research on it as yet.
Well, it's better to use native bees because importing them can be disastrous. The Africanized bee is a case in point. It was introduced into South America because it was a good honey producer, but what they didn't realize was that it attacks anything that moves.
Speaking of honey producers, the Australian stingless bee is a good alternative source of honey.
Oh, I didn't know they produced honey.
Yes, although they don't produce as much as other bees do.
Hmm.
The main drawback with the stingless bees is that they're quite sensitive to temperature. They just won't fly if it gets below 18 degrees, so they aren't really suited to southern parts of Australia.
I know how you feel about foreign bees, but I think my favourite bee is a Canadian leafcutter bee. It has such a gentle personality, but it's really hard working too, and it's got a lot of potential for farmers.
Why is that?
Well, I've been asked to help import them to this country to pollinate the lucerne or alfalfa crops. At the moment, Australian production is about a third of that in North America, where they have these leafcutter bees.
That's quite a difference. But is it safe to import these bees?
Well, our research shows that it is. So they've been importing them in very limited numbers. They have to be thoroughly checked first before they're released to make sure that they don't have any mites or diseases.
Well, that's good.
Yes. Of course, the only drawback is that we can't bring in very many at a time, so we still don't have enough of them here to really make much difference to our crop yields.
Yes, it takes time to build up a bee population.
That is the end of Section 3. You now have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to Section 4,